Here's your latest weekly briefing from the Population Research Institute at pop.org. At PRI, we celebrate people. World Population Day is an occasion for the anti-people crowd to don sackcloth and ashes and bemoan human population growth. Led by the United Nations, demonstrators will march in major cities protesting overcrowding. Today is the United Nations' 30th annual World Population Day. Though the UN never stops trumpeting gloom and doom about overpopulation, it turns up the volume on July 11th every year. Demonstrators will march in cities worldwide protesting human population growth. For example, Robin McKee, a science and environment writer, wrote in yesterday's The Guardian, "There are about 7.7 billion men, women, and children on Earth. Staggering figure, isn't it? Given that a century ago, there were only 1.9 billion. By 2050, the Earth's population will have hit 9.7 billion, and it will continue to rise, reaching a figure of about 10.9 billion by 2100. If there are 10 billion of us, every forest, valley, and piece of land will have been turned into agriculture to feed us. Our planet cannot withstand such numbers," says the paleontologist Peter Ward. End quote. Well, this is the same message population fearmongers have spread for over two centuries, from Thomas Robert Malthus's essay on the principle of population in 1798, to Paul Ehrlich's The Population Bomb in 1968, his Population Explosion in 1990. Now, even though by then Ehrlich's predictions proved groundless, he wasn't finished. He wrote Humanity on a Tightrope in 2010, persisting in his claim that too many people means depleted resources and a poisoned planet. Fear of the consequences of overpopulation have led to countless human rights violations. The worst example in the world comes from communist China. Its brutal one-child policy was literally the fear-mongering of the anti-people types come to life, and it caused the death of 400 million unborn and newborn children in China. This story is told in Steve Mosier's A Mother's Ordeal. Here's what the Wall Street Journal says about Mosier's book. And I quote, "Fascinating, A Mother's Ordeal bears witness to the terror that can accompany daily life in today's China. While more information about China's restrictive policies is steadily coming to light, it is unusual to have as an informant a nurse who was both victim and victimizer. Qian and Mr. Mosier have not only told the story of one mother's ordeal, they've recounted a nation's ordeal, too." End quote. Should we, like the Chinese Communist Party, regret the day that our planet became home to 7 billion? Or is that milestone something we should celebrate? For the population controllers at the UN Population Fund and Planned Parenthood, the answer is clear. They would have preferred that baby 7 billion had never been born. PRI disagrees. PRI disagrees. We celebrated the birth of baby 7 billion. This little child was born into a world that is more prosperous than our forebears ever could have imagined. As the world's population numbers have grown, incomes have soared. In 1800, when there were only 1 billion of us, per capita income worldwide was a mere $100. By 1927, our numbers had doubled, but incomes had increased five times to $500. When we reached 3 billion in 1960, income had tripled again to $1,500. As we passed the 7 billion mark, per capita income had soared to $9,000. Today, we have reached a per capita income of $11,000 plus. In 2100, when the population will be between 7 and 8 billion, it is projected to be above $30,000 per capita in current dollars. What is the driving force of the so-called population explosion? It is a genuine explosion in health and longevity. As late as the 19th century, 4 out of every 10 children died before reaching the age of 5. Today, under 5 mortality is under 6% and falling steadily. 200 years ago, human life expectancy was under 30 years. Today it is 69 years and climbing. And that means that, naturally, there are more of us around at any given time. Look at virtually every measure of well-being. From infant mortality and life expectancy to educational level and caloric intake. They indicate that life in Africa, Asia, and Latin America has dramatically improved. According to the World Bank, the average income in the developing world has quadrupled since 1960. Enough grain is produced for every person on Earth to consume 3,500 calories daily. There is no need for anyone to starve in the midst of this plenty. Population has more than doubled since 1960, but crop yields per hectare have kept pace. World food and resource production has never been higher. Economies continue to expand, productivity is up, and pollution is declining. Lifespans are lengthening, poverty is down, and political freedom is growing. The human race has never been so well off. Here's the hard truth. Underpopulation, not overpopulation, is the real threat faced by much of the world today. Some 80 countries, representing over half the world's population, suffer from below replacement fertility, defined as less than 2.1 children per woman. The populations of the developed nations today are static or declining. The United Nations predicts that by 2050, Russia's population will have declined by 25 million people, Japan's by 21 million, Italy's by 16 million, and Germany and Spain by 9 million each. Europe and Japan are projected to lose half of their population by 2100. Countries with below replacement rate fertility will eventually die out. It's just a question of time. Even in the developing world, family size has shrunken from around 5 children per woman in 1960 to less than 3 today, and the decline continues. According to the UN's low variant projection, historically the most accurate figure, the population of the world will peak at 8 plus billion around 2040 or so. It will then begin to decline. High fertility rates are becoming rare. The UN numbers for 2010 showed only 10 countries with population increase rates at or above 3.0%. By 2050, persons age 65 and above will be almost twice as numerous as children 15 years and younger. The economic consequences of population aging will be closing schools, declining stock markets, and moribund economies. Ignoring these facts, the population controllers continue to spread their myth of overpopulation. The UNFPA and other population control organizations are loath to report the truth about falling fertility rates worldwide. Why? It's simple. They raise funds by frightening people with a specter of overpopulation. They tell us that too many babies are being born to poor people in developing countries. This is tantamount to saying that only the wealthy should be allowed to have children. This claim represents a new and dangerous form of global racism. The United States should stop funding population control programs and instead turn our attention to real problems such as malaria, HIV/AIDS, and infectious diseases. Never forget, people are our greatest resource. Yes, extraordinarily gifted people can help to enrich civilization and lengthen lifespans. But the fact is that everyone, rich or poor, is a unique creation who can offer something priceless to the rest of us. Every baby, boy or girl, red or yellow, black or white, is not a liability but an asset, not a curse but a blessing for all of us. Now, earlier I mentioned Steve Mosier's book, A Mother's Ordeal. Right now, you listeners can receive a copy of this book. Through the end of July, we'll send you a free copy as our way of saying thank you for a donation of any size. To receive your book, simply make that generous gift of any size to the Population Research Institute by the end of this month. You can give at our secure online giving page at pop.org, pop.org, or by mailing your check to Population Research Institute, Post Office Box 1559, Front Royal, Virginia 22630. Post Office Box 1559, Front Royal, Virginia 22630. Or if you'd prefer to donate by credit card over the phone, just call us at 540-622-5240. Call 540-622-5240 and leave a voicemail with your name and number if we happen to be talking to another supporter, and we will call you right back. Let's make our world a world that puts people first. This has been your latest weekly briefing from the Population Research Institute at pop.org. Thanks for listening.